Hey gang, are you in a band in Austin? You're looking to go from the band where people go to the band where people go whoa. Yeah, you got to start rehearsing. You got to get it together. Let me tell you about a great place. It's called Space Rehearsal and Recording. Space is a state-of-the-art, affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. 31 spacious rooms, some of them even have windows. Call them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Get your act together. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host, Johnny Maldi.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you're all staying dry out there. It's been raining all week here in Austin. I know that there's been some devastating rain in Baton Rouge and in Louisiana and places like that. I wish everyone safety, and I hope that you're all doing okay. This is crazy weather, isn't it? Last week it was like 190,000 degrees. This week it's a mellow week, but it's like the 40 days and 40 nights of rain, like biblical kind of shit going on that freaks me out from time to time. But I have a great show for you guys today. Free Kittens and Bread is on the show today. They have a new album called American Miserabilist. Chase and Mark from the band stopped by. We sat down and had a great conversation. First of all, kind of trying to define the band. They think of themselves as like a folk punk pop band, and I guess that's what they are. You know, they have the ethos and lyrical abilities of a folk band, and the unbridled energy and like punk ethos of a punk band, and then also amazingly great songs like a pop band. So yes, Free Kittens and Bread, amazing band. Their new album, American Miserabilist, is out now. You can go to freekittensandbread.com to find out when they're coming to a town near you. But their single, Brainless, has over 35 plays on Spotify. I suggest checking it out. They've got a great video for it as well. And they will be playing September 10th at Dongfest at Granada House. You go to freekittensandbread.com to find out when they are playing and if they're coming to a town near you. They've done a few tours of the States, and we talked about it. They just did their fourth one. And when we were talking about it, they were saying, yeah, they played a lot of house parties. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. I'm so removed from a band playing in a house. Some of the best times I ever had playing music ever were in a house at a party. You know, like where it wasn't supposed to be there, where the cops came and shut it down. Where when the cops came, people took off running for their fucking lives because they were underage or tripping their asses off on acid. I mean, amazing. Amazing times. And these guys just did this tour of the United States where they did a significant amount of house parties. And it's not like a house concert that implies like older people and maybe an older artist playing solo acoustic in somebody's living room where they're charging like $40 and serving some wine. And it's all like a mellow thing and it ends at 10 or 9. No. I'm talking about a house party, man, where people hand out flyers and be, hey, man, you coming to the, come on out to the party. And then people come, they show up, and it's a house that when you get there, it smells like a combination of old weed, feet, beer, and fucking insanity. You know, those parties get out of control. And as you get older, you kind of get you're not in that thing anymore. Nobody I know, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, at my age, like people aren't like, oh, hey, come over. And it's a fucking crazy party with a band playing like in the living room where they just move all the shit out of the living room. Put it in the garage, guys. Park out in the driveway. Just park. You drive up. It's just a street loaded with cars. It's like something out of like a fucking John Hughes movie, but with a band in there. People just living it up. Summertime. You think about that, right? People making out in corners. People that just met. Drinking crappy beer out of a keg. In red cups, scared that the cops are going to come because they're on acid. I don't know, man. Look, it just seems super fun. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about the shows that I played in houses. Fantastic ones in Georgetown. And when I first moved to Austin, my friend Brad Siegel and I, who we started Mr. Rockababy together, we had this band Love Tree, man. We were playing people's living rooms. In fact, I have great pictures from like a party we played in a living room. Like the band took up most of the living room, right? And so people were watching like in the doorways and the hallways. And I don't know, man. It was just, that's just a fun time. And I miss it. I miss going down to like the Pearl Street Co-op in the West University area here in Austin. And going and seeing, I saw Mad Hatter for the first time, who ended up becoming Push Monkey at one of those parties. Standing by a keg watching this cool ass band play for forever. You know, people dancing, people freaking out, people fucking in the bushes. Amazing times. Okay, now I play clubs. But you know, like honestly, if you asked me and said like, hey, do you want to go and do this tour? It's going to be like house parties. I would be like, no way, man. Like I need monitors, a backstage, I like a sound system, I like lights. I don't know what happened to me. Maybe I should start going to those parties. I don't know. Ask those guys. At my age, if you show up at like a Pearl Street Co-op party, are you fucking weird? Because everyone there is like, 17 to like 21, and you're like almost 50. Hey guys, what's going on? It's me, Johnny. Isn't this cool? Hey, this party sure is deaf. Hey, this band is tight. I don't know, man. It sounds weird. Feels weird. Are there adult house parties where the cops come? Nobody wants a cop. I don't know, guys, what to do about this house party thing. It confuses me. I miss it, but I don't necessarily want to do it at my age. But I love that Free Kittens and Bread are out there doing it. And just like, I can imagine. I would like to see them at a house party. I really would. I'm probably going to go to Dongfest if I can. Dongfest. Look them up at freekittensandbread.com. Their album, American Miserabilist, is absolutely fantastic. Chase is a great, great, great songwriter. They're a great band. And we have a great conversation. Oh, before we get to this conversation, quick reminder, tonight, Friday, August 19th, Skyrocket will be playing our very first time at Hanover's 2.0. Look it up at Hanover's 2.0, you know, online. Google that. Find it out. We go on at 9. We play till about midnight. Come on out and see us. All right? Tomorrow night, August 20th, we will return to the Continental Club in Houston. Come out to that. That's a great time. And yeah, that's my weekend. That's my quick plug. All right, let's get to the conversation with Chase and Mark from this great band, Free Kittens and Bread. Pick up their album, American Miserabilist, out now. Go to freekittensandbread.com to find out when they're coming to a town near you. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Enjoy my conversation with Free Kittens and Bread. Let's get down.
I was listless, liver doomed to the gutter. Black from the window, it was painless, passing it onto the carpet. I didn't want to feel stupid, but there I was being human.
Chase, man, you started this on your own.
Uh-huh.
As a like a solo acoustic folk thing.
Yeah.
Were you a guy on his way to be a folk guy? Was that what you were going to do?
I think so. Like when I first started writing music, it was let me get a little more intimate with this microphone.
Yeah, do it.
But I started writing like punk stuff. It was still kind of folk, it was like folk punk, but when I started writing the Free Kittens and Bread stuff, it was I'd started listening to a lot of Bob Dylan,
okay.
Like his earlier stuff, and started getting into like Townes Van Zandt and a lot of okay. Like folky stuff.
Legitimate.
Yeah, yeah.
Dudes.
And I got like, that was the first kind of music I got into, like real into in a while. So I definitely, my intention was to take the band into like a folkier way. But
so what you were doing before then was more punk?
Yeah, just, you know, when I was like 17 or 18, we played in a punk band.
That yeah.
It was like, if you've ever heard of the band Against Me.
Yeah,
yeah,
I've
we
heard of that band.
Kind of just covered a bunch of their songs, and then okay. That's when we started, like, I started writing music at all.
So. Oh, okay. Do you know this guy, Frank Turner?
Yeah, Frank Turner. I love Frank Turner.
I talked to him on the show.
Oh, really?
He's a guy that came from punk into the
folk. Yeah.
But there's some kind of thing that happens. When you do that, you don't make boring folk music. Because a lot of times, man, and not the guys you mentioned, obviously, Townes Van Zandt, amazing.
Right.
Bob Dylan, I don't have to say it. Although I do know this one person that one time told me that he was super overrated.
Depends on.
Like, really?
I've heard people say that.
I mean, I understand the concept of him being overrated.
Right.
But, like, you can't really say he's overrated.
I know.
Because he's very, very good.
Yeah.
Like, across the board. Anyway, so, I noticed that a lot of times, like, I don't know. Like, did you ever become part of, like, the Folk Alliance or anything like that? Did you ever go up to Kansas and do that thing?
No, I never. The Folk Alliance?
You know what I'm talking about?
No,
it's a thing where they go. It's like South by Southwest, but it's in a hotel.
Huh.
And you go and just play in rooms and.
No, I never heard of that.
I don't know.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Does it? Do you ever do, like, Kerrville or anything like that? Do you ever go to that?
No.
Okay.
Never did much traveling.
So you weren't, like, immersed in the folk scene?
No, it was. I'm much like, I'll latch on to music. Take it in by myself and then not like get involved. I don't know. I just got really into those two artists and earlier Leonard Cohen stuff and just started writing folk music. I wasn't like immersed in the whole
modern folk scene.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Because to me, like sometimes it can, I mean, you know, I'm sure you've heard things where you're like, man, this is boring.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's fucking boring.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a long thing. It's maybe two chords, and it's just a guy.
Just rambling on some story.
And nothing against that guy, whoever he is.
Whoever that guy is.
But I appreciate, like, Bob Dylan has these songs.
Yeah.
You know? And so did Towns.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what I appreciated and got me really into it. But.
So where were you living? Some weird place in Texas?
Yeah, it's called Princeton, Texas. It's like
university there. No, I'm joking.
No, I've told people that before, and they're like, "What? You went to college? How old were you? What?" But it's near like Plano and McKinney. If you know where those places are,
yeah.
But it's a small town.
How did you find punk music there?
God, what a question. Well, I met this one kid at my school. His name was like Josh Raymond, and he and I like I had heard of like a little bit. I like heard Against Me on Fuse TV, and I started listening to them, and then I started talking to this kid, and then me and he just gave me so much punk music that I'd never heard of, like The Promise Ring, a lot of Against Me stuff.
This is more modern times punk music.
Yeah, older. Some older, though. He got me into like Operation Ivy, earlier Rancid stuff that I'd never even like listened to. Stuff like that, but pretty modern, I guess, in the sense of that. And that's actually where I learned, and then me and him started a band and started learning Against Me songs. And I got most of my early like punk influence like from him, honestly. So yeah.
That's cool though.
Yeah,
that's almost punk rock in itself.
Yeah,
like you didn't even get it from a thing; you got it from just a dude.
I met a dude, and then he like told me about all this music. That's rad.
What was your scene like? How old were you? Like, what was your life scene like? Oh, were your parents, were they like, oh, shit, they worried about you?
Well, this is
the thing. Like, Chase.
This is the thing. I was like, I was like 17 when I started. I listened to him. But I played basketball my whole life. My parents played basketball their whole lives. Like, it was a basketball family. And so I grew up, like, basketball was my whole life. I started listening to punk music, and my parents were like, okay. I was like, can I go buy a guitar? And they were like,
it's too small for you.
What?
It's too small for you.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
No, but so it was a little weird, I guess, but my parents are pretty cool about it. But it was definitely different than what I was doing at the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can imagine, you know, like, I don't know if you went like the army jacket thing, you're just always wearing the same army jacket.
No.
And like, you went from being like the star athlete to like, you know, bummed out all the time in your room, just listening to music they don't understand.
I was always a gloomy kid.
Okay.
But music, I was like, yeah, all right. I'm not the only one.
So that's what it was.
Yeah.
You found like-minded people.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you related to the music.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. And then after the Against Me band, you guys started writing songs after you were doing Against Me.
Yeah.
And then how long before you started this project?
You're
a young guy.
Probably like 6 years later, I think.
Okay.
Because I went to, I was like recruited for basketball, and I went to play at St. Edward's University here for a year. That's actually where I met Mark.
Okay.
And then transferred out to another school in Arkansas, finished out my college life there, and then came back home, and that's when I started the project. So, high school, college.
What'd you go to college for?
Film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy? Did you do that video? You guys?
No, no. We did a video for like
the first video for Wishful Thinking.
Yeah. I didn't see that one, but I saw Brandon.
Yeah, it's like yeah. All the our first album, our first demo thing called Recluse. It was like all DIY, and so we did a DIY video and okay.
Did you like film school? Did you get a degree?
Yeah.
Do you do stuff? Are you a gaffer on like shows?
I tried. When I moved to Austin, right out of college, I moved back home and got a job at Half Price Books because I was like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. And I was like, oh, I'm depressed. But then
there's something about the artsy intellectual guy that works at Half Price Books. Like that in itself should be like a film or some kind of sitcom.
It's funny because when I got
that
there,
guy,
I was like, everyone is here. It's like me.
Yeah. They're kind of bummed out.
Yeah. They're kind of all in the same boat. They're like, they all have degrees. They're all really smart people. And they're all just like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. So
they scoff at you when you buy Made in Manhattan on DVD.
They're like, oh, yeah. I just have some culture.
Yeah, the cultural sophistication is stuck in limbo. Yeah.
That's not funny. I'm like that too. It's fine. It happens at Waterloo Records too.
Yeah.
Waterloo and Half Price, they have a similar employee base.
That's true.
What was that like? What is it like working at Half Price Books?
Man,
is it fun?
Yeah, like I enjoyed it. Like I still look back at that job and I'm like, man, I really love that job because you get to be around people that are just like you. You get to be around like books. I mean, if you love to read, I love to read. Love music, they have vinyl, all that. But they don't pay you enough. They pay just enough to live. It's like I think you start off at like 8 or 9 an hour, and then like every year you get like a quarter raise or something like that, like a 25-cent raise or something.
Jesus.
And they have
what do you do now? Do you do something
now? What's that?
Do you do something for work?
Yeah, I've been like doing part-time delivery at Domino's for like the past 3 years because they work with my schedule.
Yeah,
that's... but then I also have like when I moved to Austin, I got a film job downtown at a place called Compass Learning. And then I'm also doing part-time work for a company in New York called The Booth. It's a photography company, and then they do like on-site photography, and then like so I'll go to different locations and set up a photo booth and work for like an event. So yeah, a lot of part-time stuff.
Mark, were you in film school?
No, I was at Sen Ed's for more business and IT stuff, but at least when we met, but I kind of went the corporate gig for a minute after school, but it sucks being stuck in a cubicle all day.
What were you doing?
I became a billing operations manager over at HP for a minute, and I don't know. It's just
for
like
a minute. You were there for like how long?
I mean, that's very hip hop though to say that. I was there for a minute.
Oh yeah, I get that from my friend, from my roommate. But yeah, so I was there for like 2.5-3 years, and then just got laid off. And then after that, I was like back in March, I guess, when we got laid off. But we went on tour, and it was fantastic. And so I've kind of just been taking it easy for the most part ever since. I'm still kind of doing like work on the side here and there, but probably in like a couple of weeks here, I'm gonna really start searching for another job because I'm gonna need some income here.
Yeah,
but
having super cool hair doesn't pay as well as you'd hope it would.
I know, yeah, right. You think I just go sit on the street, stand on the street corner, and people would just be like, "Oh my god, can
pull
I like pet it for like $5?" Like,
pull
yeah,
a spring.
Yeah, can it, yeah, boing it for a second, or yeah, that happens all the freaking time. It's ridiculous, but
$1 to boing it.
Yeah, yeah, just stay on this corner of the sign. But
were you a punk rock guy? Where do you come from?
I kind of came from the more alternative and then classic rock, but and then a bit of jazz until like freshman year when I met this guy, and he kind of dragged me out on a whim to a Gaslight Anthem show. I mean, they aren't necessarily punk rock completely, but yeah, but the roots are there, and then so he kind of like his friend Josh introduced him to a lot of stuff. He kind of ended up introducing me to like a lot more against
word
me.
Word of mouth, music.
Yeah. And, and so, and then kind of developed from there and just really, you know, fall in love with the scene. And, it's been great. You know, it's funny how sometimes, one show or like, you know, it will just kind of like change your whole focus in music or, you know, perspective on music.
Yeah.
And and so that was kind of one of those shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, that'll
change your life right there.
But so yeah, that was kind of that one show he dragged me to, the Gaslight Anthem show. That was kind of one show that really opened up my world.
That's
and
a good show. I remember that show.
Ever since then, you know, I'm just like dying to get back in the pit, you know. Because you know, it's like the heartbeat, core of the show.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I was never in there.
Really?
I
really?
Knew guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I was never
I was never. I wasn't. I was around for a lot of punk rock. I was around like I was a kid, and I lived in Ocasio, California, which is a really small town in Marin County.
Okay.
And like I lived there in like 1978, and I remember when we only got one radio station. It was a college radio station.
Yeah.
And I was a huge fan of the Sex Pistols, and my friends and I
heard
it differently than the way it was supposed to be heard. We heard it as literally the funniest, coolest people we have ever heard in our life. Like, we heard God Save the Queen was the song they came up with. And we just, like, it was so funny.
Yeah.
It was hilarious to me.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
She ain't no human being.
Yeah.
We just thought that was fucking hilarious. Yeah. And then when I got into music and I was in high school, then there was like the Black Flag kind of era of dudes and all that kind of stuff. And that was just too I just wasn't.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, they really brought brutal. That intensity.
Yeah, I so, didn't have.
Didn't
I was
share
like
that
I
intensity.
Was too in the Duran Duran camp at
that
time.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
really fully sell, you know. Yeah. Plus the girls, I'm not gonna lie, they were much hotter. In that like British
really
yeah you know oh, yeah. romantic like the girls that liked that music were far better than the girls that like I really sound like a shallow ass I'm a super into music. It's not just girls, but like when you're you know I was 13
yeah, when you're young,
and 14
yeah, yeah.
you're like
yeah
this girl has a shaved head and like something stuck in her face, and then these other chicks all look awesome.
Yeah.
They're wearing mini skirts.
Yeah.
So I know.
Yeah, no, I'm
gonna get something from somebody for that.
No, not at all.
So when I listen to your album, your newest album, American Miserabilist. I got more of a power pop.
Power
vibe
pop?
From I understand punk pop, but you don't to me. I equate punk pop with that my friend Howard calls it tattletale. When the guys sing like this,
yeah.
I'm gonna tell mom.
Yeah. I mean, there's like so my friend actually grew up listening to a lot of pop punk too, because my friend Josh, he was super into pop punk. And I found there's a lot of different kind of pop punk music, like especially now. Like I'll hear a band be called pop punk, and I'm like, is that pop punk? I thought a pop punk was like modern Ramones with the like, you know, the high pitch like, you know. But there's a lot of different kind of pop punk. Like I would consider us pop punk, but you know, a subgenre of pop punk if there are any.
Right.
if there are names for it. I'm terrible with like. Genres of music, like I don't even know what power pop is. What are examples of?
To me, I would say it's a cross between power pop and garage rock.
Okay,
like there's a certain amount of like rawness to what you're doing,
right?
Which you might view as punk, and I view it as just dudes in a garage.
Yeah, and so like everybody, you know, has their own opinion of what it sounds like.
It's not like super Beatles, but there are harmonies and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
Yeah.
More than
the
there
Beatles.
Would be in punk music.
We love the Beatles. We're influenced by the Beatles. Yeah, totally.
You guys Ramones guys?
Yeah, Ramones was one of the first punk bands I was like listening to.
Yeah.
First like pop punk band.
That's just really like, that is just,
yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
Like, it's just weird.
Yeah, they just drive it like, I don't know, it's just like drive it straight.
It's weird how good but simple, like the easiest things in the world, but it's
yeah, it makes still, the hair on my arm stand up when I think about it, because you're just like, how do they fucking do that?
Yeah, how do they pull
find
that
combination?
Yeah.
Right?
That's very true.
How do they find the weirdest looking human being in the world that had like this, like a heart of gold that came out when he sang?
Yeah.
And I met one of them, but he's such an asshole. Really? Johnny. Which,
oh, yeah. I heard Johnny.
I met him when I played at a Warped Tour thing, and he was there. And
how is he an asshole?
Just kind of like when you, this guy comes into this room, and you're like, oh, fuck. You know, it's one of them.
Right.
You know, he's wearing the leather jacket, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just will, like, walk up, and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, and he was talking.
Quit interrupting me.
He was kind of into politics in a way that, on a side that I found shocking.
Really?
He's an incredibly conservative right-wing guy.
Huh. Really?
Like talking about it.
Huh.
Yeah.
I would not think that.
It was very
weird.
That
is weird. How long ago was that?
1998.
Okay. Okay.
Huh.
August. Well.
Yeah, maybe.
Outspoken conservative.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
So, weird. Okay, so you just did a tour. That's when I reached out to you. I reached out to you, right?
I think you might have reached out. Did you reach out to the email?
I think I did.
Yeah, I think.
Well, first of all, you have one of those band names.
Yeah.
That I'm not trying to. Yeah, like, it's one of those band names, like, and I'm not saying it's like this, but when I saw this name, Diarrhea Planet. I was like, I've got to hear what this is.
Like,
I've got an idea of what Diarrhea Planet music sounds like, but what if I'm wrong?
Yeah. That's
true. And then I saw Free Kittens and Bread, and I was like, that is such an odd. Why is that a name?
It's funny that you mentioned Diarrhea Planet, because recently we were talking about, like, getting a name change, like changing our name, because of the name. It's just, you know, it's long, it's not memorable. And we were,
I mean,
Mark was like, Mark was like, yeah, but there are bands like Diarrhea Planet. And I was just like, you're
you
right.
Know, yeah, right. Like, you know, ridiculous names. And, you know, kind of piques your curiosity. Like, what happened with you?
And I had never listened to Diarrhea Planet. So I was like, I'm going to go listen to what it sounds like. That happened like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
It's just funny that you bring that up.
Well, I mean, how did you come up? I mean, to me, it's like, I mean, it's hard to come up with a band name now that hasn't been taken.
Yeah, right. That's everyone nowadays. They'll do like some, you know, they'll throw a number in or like always. It's like two V's instead of a W or,
yeah.
Like, take out the vowels.
Yeah. So
it's like, that's already a
Like
Mark,
churches
just take out the vowels.
And like
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, there's a punk band called Reviver, and it's like RVIVR. But Free Kittens and Bread, as the fates would have it.
It wasn't taken.
It wasn't taken. That's it. And that's how it came to be. No. When we were in our old band that just covered against me, pretty much, we were driving around my town in Princeton, and there was a bunch of signs up that said Free Kittens and Bread, and they were like giant pieces of wood that were like painted.
It's like total scrap wood.
Yeah.
And so we followed the signs because there's like a million. And we get to this like podunk family. They're on their porch and they have like a table with loaves of bread on it. And then they have kittens and they're giving them both away. And it
was bomb combo.
It was so weird. And so we took a sign because we were like, how great is this?
Yeah.
And the sign we have, I have the original one. It says Free Kittens in black paint. And then, almost like an afterthought, it has and bread.
Yeah,
like they're like, God, we can't get rid of these kittens.
Yeah.
They're not coming for the kittens.
Yeah,
we need
coming,
one more thing.
What do
bread.
People need?
What do people? What is that? What does every family need? A loaf of bread too.
And obviously the kittens. The gluten free movement hasn't gotten to Princeton yet.
Right?
And it won't. I'm sure.
Yeah, but then like it's funny because then I got a call from my dad once. And he's just like, so I told these people the name of your band, and they thought that it was like a metaphor for like, you know, that Dire Straits song where they're like, you know, money for nothing, chicks for free.
Oh, yeah.
They thought it was supposed to be like a metaphor for, you know, like free women and money. I'm just like, no, it's not quite, but I'm glad, you know, they're getting that out of it.
pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, I'll take it.
I've thought of like warping it into like a metaphor for something and be like, yeah, that's why.
Totally,
I thought of the name.
But, or just agree with every interviewer that guesses what it is.
Pretty much. That's the plan.
Yeah.
So you guys did a tour. How long was it?
In April, it was
like
a little
24 days,
a little
like
under
that.
A month. Yeah,
yeah. Did like 22 shows, I think. Yeah. Only a couple days off.
How was that?
This guy's voice almost went out.
Yeah, it was rough. This is the first tour we had somebody else book. He booked most of it, and we ended up playing a lot of like DIY house shows. And typically at DIY house show, you can't hear your vocals when you're singing.
No monitors,
I was just like every night back to back to back to back to back, just screaming my lungs out.
How does that route go? I mean, how does taking the route of doing DIY house shows as opposed to tons of clubs or coffee shops or whatever like shithole you're going to go into anyway?
I mean, I don't know. It depends. Like, in my view of it, if you go to a DIY house show, most of the time there's going to be like, you know, it's all ages, so anybody can come. And they're probably going to be more into the music. Like, they're going to be there for the music, as opposed to some of the venues we play. They're like, you just got some locals that get fucked up there every night anyways. And they're just like kind of listening. So you have more potential to like make fans and like engage with people who might like the music at a house show or like, you know, a punk style venue, rather than, you know, like a typical like bar, club or venue. You might get more money, but fan engagement probably less.
Is that hard here in Austin? Because it's a very club culture, over 21 culture.
Yeah,
for
definitely.
College town.
And that's why we've kind of like, when I first moved down here, we were trying to play like every show and get a fan base here. But it's just like, it's rough trying to get like a fan base for like our genre of music in Austin.
I hear that so much from so many genres of music.
I know,
sitting in this chair, like pop people have that problem.
I know.
Hip hop people have that problem. Apparently, punk pop people have that problem.
Yeah. I mean, I think most genres do because Austin is like...
It's just the crowd's so dispersed, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's such a huge supply.
And there's so many shows every night. You know, everyone has to choose pretty much one show a night to go to.
Right.
And not everyone's going to go out every single night.
What's that place on the east side, the Church of the Holy Ghost or whatever they do?
I'm not familiar.
They do all ages and like punk rock shows that are real cool.
Yeah.
I've never been there.
I've only heard of a couple shows there. I don't think they do shows very
regularly.
Frequently.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's definitely only... There's the only other DIY spot I know of in Austin is one they just opened up. It's on like off of North Lamar, I think, off Shirley Avenue. It's like a warehouse that like a three or four dudes just like are paying the rent for.
How do you set up a show like that?
It's so easy. Just be like, I mean, so contact one of the four dudes that are paying the rent, get together a bill, ask people to play, open it up. Do like a $5 donation cover at the door.
Okay.
Somebody just sits there and then bring a PA. That's it.
Somebody bring beer. There can't be beer there if there's
no.
It
can be beer.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, generally at the DIY party. Like,
yeah. It's like a house show. So
BYOB
party.
How old are you guys?
27.
I'm 26.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the time of parties at houses. That's so cool, man. That culture was just so cool. Like when I moved here in 1991, I went to so many shows at the Pearl Street Co-op and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like awesome shows. Awesome shows. And they were like that. They were all ages. There was a keg. You paid $5.
They're still doing shows like that.
The co-op still put on some pretty good shows. Yeah.
I guess I'm old. Is it weird if a 47-year-old guy shows up at one of those things? Hey, how you doing, man? You
got this
band's kicking, right, guys?
Think about
this
when you're younger.
Pretty fresh. Yeah.
When I was younger, I wouldn't care if like, tight.
Yeah,
everyone likes
say,
this
tight.
Music.
Yeah. Hey, guys, this band's pretty tight.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I don't think they would really
no.
carry the way.
Okay.
I wouldn't
then
care.
I'm going to start going.
Yeah, just do it. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had some good shows. I remember I saw that year at ACL got rained out. That second Sunday of ACL got rained out.
Oh, yeah.
A couple years ago, whatever.
Yeah,
I remember they had this guy, Tori Moi. They got him at Eden House Co-op. And, I mean, yeah, be perfectly acceptable for anybody of any age to show up. But it was a dope show.
Yeah.
And they put on some pretty great shows still.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what happens with this coming semester.
How do you tour, like in a van? Do you have a van?
No, Mark used to have a what did you used to have that had the hitch on it? The
Pearl Hippo. The what? GMC Envoy.
Yeah, and we rent out a U-Haul trailer, all the equipment in the trailer, and then we all get in the car. That's the best way, I think, because if you go in a van, your chance of like getting broken into increases by 60%.
Listen to this, Chase, in New York City.
Yeah.
My van got broken into, but our stuff was all safe in the trailer.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a mobile safe. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, anytime anyone's like, you guys should get a van, I'm like, if we have a trailer too,
yeah.
But I don't trust that.
But it's comfortable and you guys all got along. Everyone came back happy.
Yeah, I mean, touring with, we definitely get at each other's throats a couple times, you know.
Sure.
I mean,
It's touring,
yeah. It's just like something you...
It's like being in a family, you know.
Yeah.
Your ups and downs.
Pretty much, yeah.
But
everyone's seen that van pull up. Or a GMC Envoy.
Yeah.
And the doors fly open and no one's talking to each other. And one guy goes like, hey, I'm hungry. Well, shut the fuck up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I got to breathe. I'm going to go to the bathroom.
I need some freaking space.
there's a band called Pup.
Yeah.
And they just came out with a new record. And the first song on the record is, if this tour doesn't kill you, then I will.
Yeah.
And the whole song is about that.
Yeah.
The first time I heard it, I was just like, you get it. You get it.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's a thing that's hard to parlay because the general public doesn't know the feeling. And they don't tell you what it's like in Almost Famous.
Right.
You don't.
Exactly.
It's nothing like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like that.
The part where the guy gets left at the gas station, I've been in that scenario.
There are some scenarios in that movie that I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But then I'm just like,
Spinal Tap is very real like
that.
Yeah,
Spinal Tap.
Where you show up and things are just not as they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
Drummer is just spontaneously combusting. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Yeah. But you guys made it back. You're intact. You're planning another tour?
We're actually
the same guy that does the house parties.
No, I think I might help him. Like, I might get him to help with the tour because we want to do like a full U.S. tour in like February.
Where did you go on that one?
Like Midwest, Southeast ish. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, that was really cool because in the Midwest is like cities are so close together.
Yeah, the West Coast blows.
Yeah,
we
did a West Coast tour once and it was just like
the East Coast and the Midwest are sweet.
Yeah. So I might get him to help with some of the dates in the Midwest because I don't really have any booking contacts there. But yeah, full U.S. hopefully.
Yeah.
February.
And in February? Yeah. What do you guys have planned for, say, the fall? I noticed you got no gigs on your calendar that we can talk about. But people can pick up the album American Miserablest. You guys, I mean, it's a great...
Yeah.
It really is a great album. And
you guys are really a great
band. And that's why I reached out to you. Not just because of the name, but I was... My interest was piqued. Because of
cool. Thank you.
We have a show on September 10th. My roommate, / the guy who's drumming with us right now, he has a fest called Dong Fest.
Dong Fest?
Dong Fest.
Sweet. Yeah.
It's at a house on the
Granada
east side.
House.
Granada House. But he's put, it's like 11 bands.
When is that, September 10th?
Yeah.
September 10th, yeah. 11 bands in one day. He's getting like...
A friend.
Cold brew donated, beer donated.
You'll have the info on your website.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Free kittens
site.
And
yeah.
bread.
Yeah, freekittensandbread.com.
Yeah.
And also on our Facebook page. But yeah, that's all we have planned right now. We've been writing a lot of new stuff lately. So we're kind of focusing on that. And then I'm going on a solo tour at the end of this month. So
yeah.
All right. I saw that did I see something that you had? You just did a solo tour?
In May.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was great. Yeah.
What's
yeah.
your solo stuff?
It's called Half Man.
It's the more.
It's like folky.
Yeah.
It's pretty much whenever we started doing less folky stuff with Free Kittens and Bread, I was just like, all right.
Still need that outlet.
Take my folk stuff over here. Take my punk stuff over here. Call it a day.
Your punk?
My folk.
Oh, your folk. Not funk, though.
No funk, no.
Do you have records out as Half Man?
Yeah, I recorded one. I have one record. It's called The Great Blind Ambition, but it's on like Spotify and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, dude.
Man.
Yeah.
And so when you tour those things, do you play houses as well, or do you play
sometimes
coffee shops, or
whoever I know in the city, whatever they can book generally. I played a few house shows, I played more venues, I think.
Cuz that's a thing in the folk circuit. I mean, I got this friend Steve Poltz. I've got a lot of friends.
Steve Poltz.
Yeah,
Poltz, yeah,
is a good friend of mine.
He's so funny.
That's literally the funniest guy I've ever
known.
Dude,
he is hilarious. I saw him play with I was watching Matt the Electrician at the place on Whip Inn.
Yeah.
And I was watching him inside. Steve Poltz was playing outside. And then I'm sitting there. And then Matt, like, gets something on his phone. He gets a call. He's, like, on stage.
Poltz.
He's like, hello? Hey, Steve. And then Steve's like, hey, come out here and play with me. And Matt just, like, okay, so we're going to go outside. And so he just, like, combined
hilarious.
The crowds. Yeah. He's a funny dude.
Matt's got a new single out, I saw.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to listen to that.
Yeah.
I love
Steve's
Matt
so weird that when we did one of these and he showed up, he was just pacing. And I was like, finally, I was like, let's just do this like walking around the lake. So we literally I took a hand.
Really?
And we walked around the lake. Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Honestly.
He's really great.
Yeah. I'd like to meet him. I like his music. Oh, God.
Me
funny,
too.
Funny dude.
Amazing songwriter.
Yeah.
And very, he's weird, man.
Yeah.
The first time I ever met him, he came to a show. Do you know Billy Harvey? He's part of that whole Matt the Electrician, Bob Schneider.
Billy Harvey.
Crew of cats, yeah.
Okay.
No. What was I about to say about Billy?
I don't know. You're going to say that Billy. I'll start the sentence for you. Yeah, this one time Billy.
Yeah, I know. There's these stories I can't even remember. Okay. Anyway, so Matt the Electrician, good songwriter.
Yeah, great songwriter. I really like his stuff. I saw him play with Joe Pug one time.
Oh,
they did
Strange Brew.
At Strange Brew, they did for a while they were doing a song he would play and host and bring another artist and they'd go song for song or whatever. And that was an experience. I really liked
that
a lot.
That was great.
Yeah. I opened for Steve there at Strange Brew.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you guys like that place? Do you guys play there? I mean, could you play there as your man?
I probably could. I think I contacted them once to try, but it's south. I live up north, so I don't frequent there that much anymore. I would like to play there, though.
Yeah.
I like that venue.
Do you guys, do you do anything else, Mark? Do you play any other bands? Or
No, not at the moment. I'm working on some of my own stuff right now on the side. But
what's your stuff like?
It's been all over the place lately, from kind of an 80s vibe to more funky stuff. I mean, I like to take in a broad, spectrum of genres, and that's actually kind of starting to come out. And there's it's been kind of weird because there hasn't really been one unified sound so far. But, the latest thing has been kind of a Blake Mills sounding
love
song.
That guy.
He's an incredible guitar player.
See that that book project he did with Sam Jones? It's like a record and then Sam Jones's photos. Sam Jones's?
No.
You know that Wilco movie, I'm Trying to Break Your Heart?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
He's the guy that directed that movie, but
really?
He's also
a
fucking huge photographer.
Oh wow.
That's why that movie looks so beautiful. He's like a photographer that got into video.
Huh.
Oh, okay.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
So Blake Mills did some of them?
They did a project together.
Oh, okay, cool.
Where Blake did music that you listen to while you look at these
photos. That sounds incredible.
Yeah, yeah, it's a
good
cool idea.
Do they sell it as a book of photos and then
I think you can look. If you Google Blake and Sam Jones, it'll come up.
I'm sure it'd come up.
Yeah. That sounds cool.
Yeah, I was watching this video earlier of Blake Mills. Andrew Bird does this thing once a week now where he has a guest musician come in and they just play in his living room. And a week or two ago, he brought in Blake Mills and they apparently, I didn't realize it, but Blake Mills just played on Andrew Bird's record, his latest one that came out. And it was just incredible.
Yeah.
Seeing the two
plays
of them.
On everything. He played on somebody that was just here.
Yeah. He produced Alabama Shakes. He, Wolfpack, he plays with them.
Really?
On occasion, yeah. There was Wolfpack's first album, there's that song Rango. They did it again, with Blake Mills and just call it Ringo 2. But it's incredible.
He's one of the last of those guys. Like, that guy, I think, every day goes and plays on someone's record. Just like Raymond Tench from the Heartbreakers.
There's
like, it's still a little crew of LA guys that just every day get in their car, and I guess now they either go to a studio or to someone's house. You know,
who am I going to play with today?
Yeah.
Who's recording?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, other times I know, like, Blake will, like, set up. He's, like, has his spot, like, some surf shop down there. He'll just show up and play, like, all day. The days he's not going into studios, which is pretty incredible.
It's the life, man.
Yeah.
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 That is the life.
Yeah.
Seriously, it is the life. Yeah. Are you guys enjoying the life of music? I mean, do you guys plan on just keep on playing?
No matter what it takes? Yeah, I wish I could do more. I would, like... It's just like, you have to, like, when you're funding your own stuff.
Yeah,
like,
it's terrible.
Yeah,
it's so terrible. It's
hard. I mean, there's that, but also, like, you know, if you, you know, end up in a situation like this, you can conceivably at least get started on something.
Yeah, and that's
for the money that you spent over the last.
Yeah, and we're definitely, you know, at the point where we're trying to do that. But
where'd you do this last record?
The last record we did at Bad Wolf Recordings, Philip Odom. You ever heard of a place called, I think it was Renaissance Recordings? They did, like, it was a studio here for a while. They did a good amount of punk stuff. I, like, got in touch with them because they recorded one of my friend's bands. And he was like, yeah, I'm in, like, South Africa right now. So the studio's not really going, but you can get in touch with Phil.
Yeah.
And we ended up recording with Phil. And it was just one of those things where, like, we hit it off, like, immediately. And we started writing the record, and Phil has a lot of good ideas, and it was just it was a really good experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed
it. It's a great record. You guys really did a great job.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And the music is like, you're a great songwriter. You write the songs?
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're a great songwriter. Yeah.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. I'm glad that I came across you guys. Is there anything I'm missing here?
Like,
in
what?
The story of your life? I don't know.
Story of my life.
Is there something that you want to, that you're going to leave here and go, like, shit, I should have said.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
let's think.
We're working on an Against
September
Me.
September 10th, Compos. Dong House.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dong Fest. Yeah.
Dong House.
Granada House. It's at the Granada House.
Put the Dong House.
I'm calling my place Dong House.
Yeah, just give me the Dong House.
Yeah. Dong Fest at Granada House.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're also working on this. We got asked to be on this Against Me compilation.
Oh, that's cool.
They're getting a bunch of bands to cover, Against Me songs.
Lifetime dream to be like, oh, I get to go into a studio and record an Against Me song. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right? It's like, hopefully, I'm assuming they're going to, you know, get it and then send it to the band and hopefully they'll hear it.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. But, so we're working on a song for that right now, one of their songs. And so that should be good. That should be coming out, at the beginning of next year, I want to say.
Yeah. What do you play? Are you playing in solo right now, or
I play solo?
A little
bit,
not much.
But I'm in this band Skyrocket.
Okay,
it's a cover band.
Okay,
it's a job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty wicked, but it does keep me from doing a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, I think, like, that's the thing in Austin. Like, if you want to make money as a musician, you have to be, like, in a cover band. Like,
I think a lot of people lay shit on Austin, but there's a whole world of people that don't buy records anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just here.
Totally.
It's totally like around the world. Like,
totally.
You know, I was just reading a thing with an interview with McCartney, a brand new interview. And
really?
He was like, yeah, you know, I put out this record. I thought it was going to be huge.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, it was number one. You sold 15,000 copies. He was like, that's fucking ridiculous.
Really?
I'm Paul McCartney. This is terrible.
Yeah.
15,000 is not like a good jam for me. I was a guy from this band, The Beatles.
Yeah.
That everybody buys their songs.
Like, that's like 1 hour of sales for The Beatles.
But I mean, he was even acknowledging it. Like, it's a different thing.
It's a different world, like, in the music world. Like, I don't know. It's the worst time to try to be a musician. Like,
Were you able to sustain your tour financially yourselves?
I mean,
that's a tough question to answer because it could be weird. But if you're, like, honest, and you were able to do it, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, we were able to cover all the merch that we bought, cover all the gas.
Okay.
We basically broke even, so no one really got paid.
But that was your first tour. right? Or no?
This year?
Yeah.
No, it was our fourth.
Fourth.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. I mean,
that's four tours.
Yeah.
Every tour has gotten better and better.
That's what I'm looking for. And that's good.
Yeah.
So you didn't come back and have to put money into something because
no.
you felt like immediately right. go back to Domino's and put all that money back into shit you lost on your
No,
tour.
No, no, no.
Good. That's no. great.
Yeah, yeah. So we're definitely, it's getting better, but slowly but surely.
Just putting in the grind.
Yeah. yeah.
Putting in the
That's
grind.
What it's about, man. It's about. I mean.
Yeah, you gotta love the hustle.
There's not
yeah.
a lot of fast tracks.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some fast tracks, but it's like, yeah. there's too many people trying to get on them.
Trying to yeah. exploit it. Or
like, why
know,
not just build yeah. an audience?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Once you build an actual fan base and a real fan base, then you yeah. then you have something. Like Paul McCartney, all yeah, 15,000 yeah. people when you're 74 years old.
That's nuts. I can't believe that. That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, so I'm not missing anything. People should get out and pick up American Miserablest, available now on the iTunes, on
iTunes,
the
Spotify, Bandcamp, freekittensandbread.bandcamp.com.
Freekittensandbread.com is where you can go and find out all the yeah. stuff that you need to yeah. about yes, these guys. Sir. See their brilliant video for the song Brainless. Yes, great sir. Song, too, by the way.
Thank
really
you.
Great.
Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
You guys are a great band. I wish awesome. You a lot of luck.
Oh, I just thank you.
Yeah, look forward to talking to you guys again.
Yeah,
all
thank
right,
you.
Man.
Thank you.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, Free Kittens and Bread. Their album, American Miserablest, is available now. It's a fantastic album. Also, you can catch them live at Dongfest, September 10th at the Granada House. Hey, listen, man, Dongfest sounds fantastic. If you want to find out more about their performance at Dongfest, go to freekittensandbread.com. Find out when they're coming to a town near you, when they'll be doing another tour. I want to thank Chase and Mark for coming by. They're a great band. I love when you cross the folk and the punk, and these guys got it going on. They've got great songs. Great lyrics, and amazing energy. That's what happens when you mix those two kinds of music. All right? Great band, Free Kittens and Bread. Hey, don't forget, while you're out there looking up Free Kittens and Bread on the internet, you can like our Facebook. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, or if you just want to stream your podcast, you can download the app Stitcher to your phone or pad and subscribe to it there. You can stream over 30,000 shows on there, including How Did I Get Here? Okay? Don't forget, we do not have an advertising budget, so we rely on you, the listeners, and your kindness of sharing this. If you like an episode, I'm not saying share everything. I'm saying if you like something, you're like, fuck, that was a good show. Share it on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, okay? With the hashtag, How Did I Get Here? Help us spread the word, keeping this show free to you, the listeners, and getting more advertising and more listeners. All right? Let's hear some more music from Free Kittens and Bread from their amazing album, American Miserablest. This is the song Stuck in Yesterday. Have a great weekend. Let's get down.
You look directly at the things that are simply seen. With no expectation for the thing that you wanna be. Don't you look good?